I began a few weeks ago with you on this subject of the path. We're going to continue that today. But before we do, would you help me welcome the campuses that are joining with us? Wherever you're at today, whatever campus, we welcome you. Love and Truth Church is a multi-site church. My name is Eddie Couples. I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries, and I'm glad you're there this week. And we've been talking this whole year. Let me just kind of remind you that, and that is everything matters. You see it week after week behind me, but that's kind of the key for the whole year. The theme that we're looking at is that everything, your church attendance, your family life, your business, all of those things, everything in your life really matters, and they matter to God more sometimes than we really realize. Now, I began a couple of weeks ago with you on the subject of the path, and we're going to continue that today. So if you have your Bible or you've got the Word of God downloaded on something, go to 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. Now, we're looking at this aspect of the path, and here's, let me explain that for us. What I mean by that is that each and every one of us have a unique path in life that we're called to walk. What you're called to walk, what you're called to do, is not what somebody else is going to do. Now, there are some people who are going to go part of the way with you. They'll go down that path a little bit with you. But your journey, your path is distinct and unique for you. And so as I begin to study the life of Elijah in the Old Testament, I saw some things about his life that I said, you know what, there's some really important lessons that we can learn as people in the 21st century of somebody who lived thousands of years ago, but we can learn lessons from his life. And so we begin the first week in the 17th chapter where it talks about, it just says basically Elijah showed up, went to the king and said, hey guy, until I say it's going to rain, it's not going to rain again. And so God said, hey, Elijah, they're going to kill you, so let me get you down someplace. And he sent him, the Bible says, to the Kereth Ravine, which was a place where there was water. And the scripture says that God sent the ravens every day to feed him. And we talked about how that Kereth means covenant, that it means coming into agreement with God, and that in each and every one of our lives, if we really want to live to the fullness of this path that we're on, that the first thing that we've got to do is that we've got to come into agreement with God. Now, the Bible goes on to say in that 17th chapter that the brook dried up, and God said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to another city, and when you get there, there's going to be a widow who's going to take care of you. And we talked last week about refining, that there are those moments in our life where it doesn't matter who we are, that for us to learn the lesson that God has for us, there's going to be some refining that takes place so that we can see what it is that God wants us to do. Today, I'm going to talk about moving up, okay? Now, I really wanted to entitle this, Moving On Up. For those of you who go back a day or two, remember the Jeffersons, anybody, I really wanted to hear that song, but I thought better of it, okay? But anyway, 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, verse 1 and 2, says, after a long time in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land. So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab. Now the famine was severe in Samaria. Now remember, we've been talking that each place that God sent him was important. Well, when we look at this, God sends him to Samaria. The word Samaria means a mountain place. In other words, God sent him to a higher place. He moved up in that. So today we're going to be looking at how that God moves us up, how that we find that place of being promoted and moving to a higher level. The book of Psalms says this. Psalm the 75th chapter says, no one from the east or the west or from the desert can exalt themselves. It is God who judges. He brings one down and he exalts another. All right? And so what I got out of that and out of this whole process here is that there are ways that you and I can get ourselves into the place where God can exalt us. How many of you would like to move up? All right? You say, I don't care anything about moving up. I'm not talking about just money. I'm talking about in every aspect of your life, moving up in your relationship, your family becoming better, your walk with God becoming better. And yeah, maybe it's income becoming better. But all of those areas of life, I don't ever want to get to a point in my life where I've reached the apex and say, okay, I'm here. There's nothing any better. It's just always going to be that way. As long as I'm your pastor, understand one thing. I am always going to challenge you to move up. I'm never going to say, hey guys, boy, isn't it wonderful? Let's just hold hands and let's sing Kumbaya. It's just so good. Who is it this good? No, I'm not that guy. If you need that guy, I'm not him. There's a staff person that'll do that with you, I'm sure, but it's not me. I'm the guy who's going to come along and who's going to say to you, listen, there's somewhere else God wants to take you. There's something else God wants to do in your life. Let's get there. Let's go and let's see everything that God has for our life. So let's look at these lessons in this whole passage that we're looking at today there in the 18th chapter. The first thing about promotion is this. It's found in the first verse. It says, after a long time. How many of you have ever been in one of those places of your life where it seemed like a long, my Lord, could it get any longer? Anybody else ever been there? It's like, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Get me out of here or something, right? Ever been there? It's like, that's where Elijah's been. It says for a long time, and he goes on and says, in the third year, okay? Now, here's the first thing you've got to understand. Here's the first lesson to get in your spirit and get down on notes, and hopefully it will help you. And that is promotion comes in the right timing, all right? How many of you know timing is everything, right? Timing is everything. You ever heard a statement? We make a lot of statements. Sometimes people don't really understand. One statement I heard growing up was that a watch pot never boils. Anybody ever heard that? Watch pot never boils. And I'd stand and look at it, and I'd stand there long enough, it'd boil. And I go, well, yeah, it was. Well, what they meant was it had to get to the right temperature at the right time, right? How many of you have ever been around a lady who is about 8.5 to 9 months pregnant? Come on, I'm gonna get in trouble, but it's okay. It's not the first time I've been in trouble, okay? How many of you know she is ready, right? I mean, she, and here's where I get in trouble. Eddie, you need to not do this. When they start wobbling, come on, ladies, you know what I'm talking about. It's like, you know, you have to kind of rock to get up. Don't look at me like that. Some of you are there right now, okay? And it's like, you ask them, how you doing? I'm ready for this baby to get here. Well, here's the deal. It's going to come at the right time. Okay? That's the way life is. And you say, well, Pastor, you know, I'm kind of in one of those seasons right now, and it doesn't seem like anything's happening. What do I do in the meantime? What do I do now that I'm here? Well, here's the deal. You've got to be faithful to the last thing God said to you. All right? If you want to get promotion, if you want to go up, especially in the way God moves, you've got to be faithful to what he said to you last. What was the last thing he said? See, he said to Elijah, hey, I want you to go to Zarephath, and when you get there, a widow is going to take care of you. Well, he's just being obedient. He is just doing what he is told to do. He didn't get up and say, I'm sick of being in Zarephath. I am tired of this widow. She is getting on my last nerve. Right? He didn't do that. What did he do? He stayed right where he was supposed to. I wonder if some of us are missing our promotion because we're missing our place. Don't miss it, or you'll miss it. Right? Come on. God said, go here, and he's looking for you over here, and you've gone over here. He can't find you. You say, Pastor, God can find you. I know, I got it. All right? But he said, go here. So if I'm not being obedient to the last thing that he told me, why do you think that I can receive something else from him if I'm not doing what he told me the last time? So I've got to go back, and the scripture talks about I've got to go back and do my first works over. I've got to do what it was he told me first, and then I can move in that. Listen, we all need to understand that there's a scriptural principle called seed time and harvest, right? The Bible says as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest. And a lot of us, here's how we want. We want seed time, harvest. right? But that's not how it happens. It's seed, time, correct? I've said it for years. Only in fairy tales do you throw the beans out overnight and climb the tree the next day. That's a fairy tale. That doesn't happen in the real world. There's seed, time, and harvest. In fact, the book of Ecclesiastes says it this way. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. Okay? So you've got to understand the seasons of life. I'll help some of you today. I'm going to set some of you free right now. Nothing lasts forever. Praise God. No, that's a good thing. Aren't you glad? I mean, you say, Pastor, I'm in one of those seasons. Great. It's not going to last forever. You're going to get out. I promise you, you're going to come through it. You're going to get. Now, the other side of that is some of you going, well, I'm in a really great season. Well, let me help you. Nothing lasts forever. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. You will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, he said. So he said, look, you're going to go through seasons. We love to talk about time. Our Western world is so geared to time. And if you don't believe Westerners are geared to time and nobody else in the world is, just travel to most other cultures. There, most other cultures, it's event or person driven, okay? It's when the person shows up, then the shindig. I mean, we can be 5 hours late to a service and it's no big deal. You get 5 hours late to this service, there ain't nobody here. Right? Why? Because we're time-oriented. But time is much greater than that, okay? And as I begin to think about this, here's what I believe the reason God gave us time. Time is a point where God intervenes. Okay, now don't miss that. Time is a point where God shows up. God steps out of timelessness into time, and he shows up in your world. In the scripture, there's two words used for time. One of those words is chronos, okay? Chronos means seconds, minutes, hours, days, months, years, decades, etc. But there's another word that's used also, and it's the word kairos. The word kairos, and you don't have to remember this, but just follow me. The word kairos is where you're reading scripture and it'll say something like this, and suddenly. Ever read that? And suddenly. Now, sometimes that suddenly is preceded by 400 years. I guarantee you those people who had been enduring that 400 years didn't think it was suddenly. But it'll say, and suddenly God did this, or suddenly the Holy Spirit did this. And what does that mean? That means that in that moment, God intervened in time and he changed everything. Okay? All you've got to have happen is that you've got to have God to come out of timelessness and enter your time, and your whole world changes. All right? And so that's what's happening as we're reading this story, is that God's showing up and he's getting ready to change everything. Verse number 2 goes on there, and it says, so Elijah went to present himself to Ahab. Now the famine was severe in Samaria, okay? So the second thing that we've got to do, the second lesson on this path that we're on so that we can get promoted and moved up, is that we've got to learn to obey God's word. See, I think a lot of Christians don't get that. I am one of those people that believes God still speaks to us today. I know the View doesn't believe that, but I believe that. I believe God still speaks in our society, and I believe God still speaks to individuals, okay? And so here's what I want to tell you. When God tells you something, you ready? You don't have to pray about it. God says, I want you to go over here. Well, now, Lord, I want to pray. Right? Have you ever heard of people, those of you who've been around church for a while will understand this term. Have you ever heard of people saying, well, I'm fleecing the Lord? Anybody ever heard that? Now, that sounds like you stealing from God, doesn't it? All right? I'm putting out a fleece. Now, it's an Old Testament thing that Gideon did. He took little sheepskin. That's where you get the term fleece. And he put it outside and he said, God, do this, God, do that. The problem with that is that God had already told Gideon what to do. Now, let me help you for all of you who are into putting out fleeces. That's a sign of unbelief. Go read the scripture. God had showed up and told Gideon, here's who you are, here's what you're going to do, now go and do it. And Gideon says, I'm not sure that was really God. Although he came in an angelic form, he talked to me and all this, I'm not sure. And so he goes, in fact, he does it twice in his unbelief. All right, here's the deal. If you don't do what God says, when God says it, you miss the opportunity of what it is God was wanting to do. Let me give you an example of that, okay? In scripture here, God tells Elijah, go hide yourself, and then he says, go show yourself. When he says hide, hide. When he says show yourself, get up, be obedient. You say, well, I just don't believe that's the way it works. Well, remember in the New Testament where Peter came to Jesus one day and said, Jesus, we're Jews and the Roman Empire has shown up and they're wanting us to pay taxes. Don't you just hate taxes? Come on, we all hate taxes. Don't act like that. You know you hate taxes. If you're not nodding, you hate taxes because you hadn't been paying them lately. We got another sermon for you, okay? And so we got to pay this. But he said, we don't have any money because, you know, Judas has been stealing from the day where you gave him the money. And y'all didn't know that was in the Bible? It's in the Bible. It says that from the time Judas got the money, he was pilfering it, okay? So he's stealing. And so Jesus said to Peter, hey, watch him. Peter had always fished with nets. Everywhere in Scripture you find Peter fishing, you find him fishing with nets. But Jesus said, here's Peter, here's what I want you to do. Take a line and go down and a hook and throw it in. And the first fish you catch, he said, open its mouth and there'll be a gold coin in it. And you go pay the taxes and we'll be okay. Now, watch this. We think something mystical happened in that moment. I don't think it did. Outside of Jesus knew where the fish was with the coin. Now watch what I mean by that. We think that God created a coin and put it in the fish's mouth. I don't believe that's what happened because there's no money in heaven and God's not a counterfeiter. Don't miss this. This is good stuff. All right? Here's what I believe happened. I believe that there was a rich man out in a boat early that morning, and somehow a gold coin fell out of his pocket, and this fish was swimming by, and it saw this bright thing, and as fish are, they're attracted to it, and he opened his mouth. I got the microphone. It's my story. All right? And he clamped down on it. You say, well, Pastor, what does that matter? Well, if Peter had said, I know Jesus said go fishing, but I'm going to go over here and pray about it for a while, somebody else would have caught the fish and somebody else would have got the blessing. See, when I don't obey God in the moment that God tells me to, I am likely to miss the blessing that God has for me in that moment. See, here's the deal. You are one command away from the fulfillment of your dream. One word, one command, one thing that God can speak to you about that can take your life and as God intervenes in time, can turn it all around. Now, I'm going to skip some verses because this would be a 25-week series if I didn't. All right? And so what happens is Elijah confronts Ahab, and Ahab hates Elijah. And if you think Ahab hates Elijah, you ought to meet Ahab's wife. Her name is Jezebel. All right? And you've all heard about Jezebel. She really hates the prophet, okay? And so Elijah at this point says, here's what's got to happen. We've got to determine who we're going to serve as a people. You got all these false prophets and all this false God you've been serving, and there's the one true God. So look in verse number 21, and let's see what it says. It says, Elijah went before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. It says, but the people said nothing. That's the way people are. People are waiting to see which way the wind blows. Well, we know we're supposed to be serving God, but maybe the Baal people are going to win, so we're just not going to say anything. Now, here's the deal. The third lesson is you've got to learn to make a stand if you want to be promoted. All right? And here's the deal. You can't wait for everybody else to get on board. All right, I've said for years that the first board meeting in the whole Bible, 10 voted not to go in the promised land, 2 said, we'll go. All right? And they missed for 40 years now. They got to wander in the desert because of disobedience. All right? We've got to understand that. Let me say something to you. Usually the crowd is wrong. All right? Now, but a lot of us think, well, Pastor, God spoke to me, God told me to do this, and there's some people that are against me. If God's really on my side, you know, it just ought to be easy. Who told you that? Who told you that when God spoke to you, everything was going to be easy? Here's what I want to tell you. On your way to your destiny, it's going to get worse before it gets better. All right? There's going to be some fiery furnaces. There's going to be some pits and some prison time for some of us. There's going to be all kind of things, maybe not naturally, but there's going to be hopefully, but got to clarify things sometimes, that there's going to be these institutions of life that we're going to go through that are going to bring some difficulty into our life. Let me say it this way. Your adversary a lot of times is a door to your next season. Ahab is the door. Jezebel is the door. The prophets of Baal is the door to the next season of Elijah's life. You and I have got to understand that. Now, let me say something to you. Your decisions decide your future. Your decisions decide your future. And I want to talk to you about that for a minute. And I'm going to kind of get in our business, but it's okay. Just look at your neighbor and say, it's okay. All right? Your decisions decide your future. If you decide in the ninth grade you're going to quit going to school, it determines what your future is going to be more than likely. You're probably going to make minimum wage the rest of your life. Why does it get so quiet? Ladies, listen to Pastor. If you decide to buy into what that guy's telling you, oh, baby, I'll marry you. Uh-oh. Come on, baby, I'll marry you. I just got to get some things right. Why are y'all looking at me like that? I'm doing good. Okay? And you have that one child or two children or three out of wedlock. Your decision, and I'm not making this up, your decision has just said, I'm going to spend my life in poverty. My kids are not going to do as well in school as a married family. And I'm going to tragically suffer because of decisions. You say, Pastor, that's real bleak. No, that's real life. If you go into the bank and your pants are at half mast, and you got a grill in your mouth, you can say they're profiling. But I can tell you, I'm your friend. You are not going to get the loan because they're going to look at you and they're going to say, something is off here. I'm not sure what it is. And you can get mad at me today and say, I can't believe he's saying this stuff. But I'm telling you, your decisions determine your future. And we got to start, somebody's got to say it. And I guess I'm just crazy enough to be politically incorrect to tell you that in your life, your decisions are going to determine where you wind up in your life. And so his decision was, I'm going to stand. I'm going to make a stand in this moment, and I don't care what everybody else does. And if it kills me, I'm going to make the stand. All right? So we got to come to that. When you're looking at decisions, let me give you three quick questions to ask yourself, okay? Number one is, what does God expect of me? All right? What is it God expects me to do in this situation? When I'm facing something, when I'm facing that, oh, baby, I love you. Come on. Come on. In that moment, that man will tell you anything. Do I need to break this down? I can, and it'll get your face is going to start getting red. All right, come on. In that moment, wait a minute. I got to. What does God expect of me in this moment? That's not what he expects. All right? Secondly, what does God require of me in this moment? All right? And it's not all just on the lady side. Okay, gentlemen, what does God require of you in this moment? He requires of you to treat her like a lady. Amen. All right? And thirdly, what has God said to me? What is it that God has said to me about my life? God has said, I want you to prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. God wants to bless me, but he can't bless me if I continue to make decisions that take me down a path that continue to bring destruction in my life. Can I make this any clearer? I'm not mad at you. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to show you that there are consequences to the actions that we take in life. Now, the great thing is, it doesn't matter how badly you've messed it up. God can, first of all, forgive you for the mess up, and he can also bring you out of the mess up, and he can give you the greatest testimony that there's ever been of his grace and his mercy and what he can do, even when we've blown it. All right? But we spend so much time talking about the grace of God that sometimes we just need to talk about common good sense. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, that's enough of that. Lastly is, you got to go all in. All right? And I won't read it, but you can read it later, verse 30 through 35. It talks about he builds this altar, and it's crazy what all he does. He builds the altar, puts stones on it, then he puts wood on it, then he puts the bull on it, and then he pours water on it, and he says, no, it's not enough water, pour more water on it. And he just kept pouring water on it, and he just did it again and again, the scripture says. And what we find is that in the moment that he did that, the moment he went all in, what we find is that God began to do things on his behalf, okay? God began to bring some things to happen. Now, here's what you've got to understand. Being sold out, if I'm really that person who goes all in, means I'm going to live from a place of passion, okay? Being all in, being sold out, takes passion in your life, okay? I don't know how to say this. I can't stand, that's the best way I can say it, people who it's like, yeah, whatever. Just, oh, it doesn't, get a grip. Get a life. No, I'm not being mean. I'm just saying, come on. Listen, you were created, the Bible says, in the image and in the likeness of God. You are an original creation of God. There's not another one like you. God's got a purpose. He's got a destiny for your life. What in the world do we mean just kind of living like, yeah, it doesn't matter how. Yeah, it does matter. We've got to learn to live with passion. Even God said it this way. He said, I wish you were hot or you were cold. Book of Revelation. He said, I wish you were hot or cold. He said, but you just kind of, He said, He said, because you're, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. He said, give me somebody that's wide open or somebody that's in the freezer. Give me an extreme somewhere. Listen, the reason Jesus put up with the Apostle Peter, he was crazy. I mean, he's cussing one minute. He's swimming without his clothes on the next minute. Do y'all read the Bible? This stuff is in there if you just read it. You might be surprised at what's in the Bible. He's grabbing swords and trying to cut people's heads off. He's doing all kinds of things. But he was passionate. And Jesus said, I like him. He's passionate. He gets it wrong about half the time, but I like him. See, here's the deal. Passion does the hard work. Okay? Everything in your life that you're going to really do something and achieve. Listen. Yeah, okay, come on, Lord, help me, Jesus, because I'm going to mess it up. If you just want to sit home and draw a check, this sermon is not for you. Yeah, I just can't wait. The government's going to take care of me. Who you think the government is? It's all the rest of us. What? Y'all okay? Remember those taxes I was talking about earlier? That's the government. That's us. Every time the government writes a check, you write a check. Gets quiet. Here's the deal. I don't want to be that person. I want to be a person who lives with passion. And I've got to have passion to do the hard work. Passion is not ordinary. Most people I meet in life are very passionless. When I got my 40 in for the week, no, passion goes above and beyond. Listen to me. You want to get promoted? You don't show up 10 minutes late. You don't call in every third day sick. I'm going to have to find some people to preach to, I guess. Why? Because if I want to get promoted, God says if I'm faithful in the little things, He'll make me ruler over much. So I'm going to shift my thinking and say, God, I want to line up for this promotion. What we find is, and again, for the sake of time, we won't read it, verse 36 through 39. It says, Elijah just shows up after they've poured the water on him. He says, okay, God, you said you were going to do this. Do it. And the Bible says the fire fell from heaven, and it was so hot that it burned up the sacrifice, it burned up the wood, it burned up the rocks, and it even says, and it burned up the soil. It was like a meteor had hit from heaven. All right? God's fire is hot. Okay? And so what we've got to understand is that there's divine promotion that comes. In that moment, the last thing that happens is that I move. All those other things are bringing me here. And then this moment, in that moment that God intervenes, everything changes. Here's the deal, and I'm done. Your miracle is closer than you think. Some of you are one prayer away from your miracle. Some of you are one day away from your promotion. Some of you are one person away. Remember last week I told you, you find that one person that can take you to the next place. Some of us all, we're right here. The Bible says, listen, don't get weary in well-doing, for in due season, right timing, you'll reap if you don't faint. Here's the deal. When you are willing to do the uncommon, God rewards with uncommon blessings. All right? If you look at somebody's life and you say, man, it's like always, how do they? It's because they're not doing what everybody else is doing. See, I see people all the time who are greatly blessed in different ways. And then I get to know them and I find out they're doing things that everybody else gave up. They're praying more. They're showing up earlier. But they're doing things, and because of that, God's doing things in their life. Here's the thing you got to settle today for all of us, and that is that this whole thing about Christianity is not about a religion; it's about a person. All right. So here's the deal. Your future is decided by who you look to for promotion. If you look this way for promotion, I'm not saying you won't get any promotion, but it'll be all because of your ingenuity and what you did. But if you look this way, see, it's the same way. It's like, in fact, let's do it this way. It's the way that everything in Christianity works. When you came to Jesus Christ, or maybe some of you, you're investigating that even today as you're listening and thinking, should I follow Christ? Should I be a believer? Here's the deal. You come to that moment that you look at your life and you go, you know what? This is not working out the way that I thought it would work out. There's a lot of things. Or you come to one of those moments where the Word of God convicts you of your lifestyle. You hear what God says, and that He's a pure and a holy God and a righteous God, and you look at your life and you go, oh, I'm missing it there. It's not happening. I'm not living that way. And then you go, okay, there's no way that I can ever be good enough. And so in that moment, your attention doesn't turn to you or to somebody else. Your attention turns to God. And you say to God, God, I need you to come into my life and forgive me of my sins. I need you to cleanse me. I need the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for sins to take care of my life today. And in that moment, if you really pray that prayer and you really mean it, Scripture says God takes your sins and he puts them as far as the east is from the west, never, ever, ever to remember them against you ever again. Do you know what? That's not the end. That's an everyday decision. Who am I going to look to today? Am I going to look to myself? Am I going to look to my boss? Am I going to look to my job? Am I going to look to society? Or am I going to look to God? That's all that Christianity is. It is a daily looking to God, saying, God, I need you to show up today. I need you to come into my life today, and I need you to lead and to guide me. And every day that I do that, he shows up, and he directs, and he leads. It doesn't mean it's always easy, and it doesn't mean it's always fun, but it does mean that I know this path that I'm on is taking me to a destiny that nothing else will ever take me to. And that's the assurance of being a believer today. Amen.